Hi there. Thank you so much for tuning into my podcast, The Happy Apple. I'm Katie King, also known as the Balanced Nutritionist, and I live in Brisbane, Australia. Guess what? Healthy food and striving to be healthy in general should not be boring or stressful. This podcast is here to remind you that it can be both nutritious and delicious at the same time, and that you need balance in your life, not perfection. If you love my message, don't forget to follow along on Facebook and Instagram. You can also check out my online courses at www.courses.thebalancednutritionist.com.au. You can book a consultation with me at my website, www.thebalancednutritionist.com.au. I do everything via telehealth so we can work together no matter where in the world you are. Enjoy the episode and don't forget to subscribe if you love it. Hi everyone, and thank you so much for tuning in to another episode of The Happy Apple. My name is Katie King, and I had to really take a deep breath before recording this podcast so that it doesn't just sound like a rant and so that it does have a real point to it. But today what I really wanted to talk about was how awful the way we as men and women are marketed to by health and well-being companies. And I liken this to, say, 50, 60, 70 years ago when sugar sort of started to appear in food. I'm not sure if you knew this, but sugar, when it first started appearing in food, was promoted as a health food. It was promoted as this amazing product that gave you all this energy and it curbed your appetite and it stopped you from feeling hungry, and it was a great, a great food to include in your nutrition if you wanted to be healthy. Now, of course, we know now that that is just ridiculous and we really need to be very careful of our sugar intake. And I would go as far to say today that when you look back at that advertising material, we pretty much ridicule it. It's actually quite funny. And if you watch me on social media, you'll see that in conjunction with this podcast, I've done a post on this very topic as well. And I've used one of those posters promoting sugar as a health food. And it's really, really funny. And look, I actually hope that in 30 or 40 years' time, we look back on the way that we market, or the way that health and well-being companies market to the consumer today, and we ridicule that. In fact, I hope we do it sooner than 30 or 40 years, because the damage will be done if it takes us that long, because we really need to start pushing back and saying, no, this is not okay, to those big companies that basically seem to be out to make men and women feel really insecure about themselves and, you know, sell their products to them. So I'm going to give you a bit of context as to where this sort of information came from and this need to do this podcast. Recently, a friend asked me to come along to a mainstream gym with her. And she has this pass where you can go, where you can bring a friend at certain times. And I thought, why not? And, you know, obviously I've had my little girl almost 2 years ago, and probably for about the last 2.5 years, due to being, you know, mostly a stay-at-home mum and also COVID, I haven't been inside a big gym. I've been doing my normal running and walking routine with my dog and my daughter. And also I go to Pilates just at a little studio and sometimes do a bit of stuff from home. So, you know, it'd been about 3 years, maybe more, since I'd stepped inside sort of a big gym. Now, I was really confronted by the amount of advertising material that was literally covering all of the wall space that it was just awful. And I didn't take offense to it or feel like my self-esteem was squashed simply because I'm not going to make room in my head to you know, talk so negatively about myself. But I know that a lot of people would find that sort of material in their faces all the time, not only confronting, but also feel as though it was the truth. So some of the posters and advertising material were, you know, the usual perfect Barbie doll bodies, you know, not a wrinkle on them, selling all kinds of shakes and supplements and magic potions and powders, obviously to the consumer in a suggestive way that, hey, if you take this product, you can look like this. Well, I would say, what's wrong with how that person looks as they are? And I would hope that anybody else would push back and say that as well. And then there was also lots of information. And the thing was, it was really conflicting. So you'd walk past one poster that would say, oh, you shouldn't eat carbs during 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. or something ridiculous like that. And then there'd be another nutrition poster that gave completely different advice. And they were vilifying foods that are just beautiful and full of nutrition, like beetroot and pumpkin, as though these things were evil. So, you know, I found the whole thing very interesting, but it also made me really angry that the average person goes into an environment like this, sweats their butt off for 45 minutes to an hour, has an instructor or a personal trainer, you know, ripping into them for that time and telling them how many calories they've burned and how they're going to fit into the next size down of jeans. And then they walk into the bathroom and they see all this conflicting nutrition advice and they're looking at these posters of all these hourglass figures and thinking, well, I don't really look like that. I just felt like the whole environment was so negative. I'm sure this sort of stuff has been there all the time and you know, was there 5-10 years ago when I was really involved in that kind of world, I guess, and I spent more time working out in those kinds of environments, but I'd never really noticed it before like I did now. And it certainly hadn't bothered me as much as it does now, probably because I speak to so many people who are so confused about food, so hating on their own bodies, and have really a lot of space in their brain consumed thinking about all these bits of themselves that they want to change. When I look at a lot of these people and think, you know, they're doing really well. And sure, we can always work on our health, but it should be about our health, not the way we look, and not about every single wrinkle or, you know, every single roll of skin that we can find. So that's a bit of context as to how this really, you know, this conversation came about. And it made me think how desperately we need to change this language on a really big level, a level that's probably bigger than you and I at this stage. I'm talking, you know, big businesses and advertisers just need to stop using this sort of derogatory marketing to sell their products, because it's actually purely about money. It's not about morals, and it is definitely not helping the physical or mental health of anybody. Now, I know that a lot of us probably would just walk past this sort of language and these posters and this advertising and just not really think too much about it. But the reality is, would you want your little girl to see that sort of advertising? I don't think so. And maybe that's why I'm more aware of it now. Would you want your little boy to see that sort of advertising? Because there are plenty of men these days with body image issues and confusion around what they should be eating. No, we wouldn't. So why do we put up with this sort of language being directed at us as, you know, regular mums and dads and you know, 30, 40, 50-something aged people? We really shouldn't. There's so much research out there around how bad the impact is when we shame people. I once read this brilliant book. It was by an investigative journalist, and it was about you know, people who had been publicly shamed, so through the media and that sort of thing, and what had happened as a result of that. And some of them, you know, their mental health had suffered significantly. So we know that shaming people publicly is very, very damaging to mental health. We also know that shameful parenting isn't a very positive way to parent either. Children don't thrive when they are regularly shamed for their behavior. And now there are lots of other ways to approach kids' behavior when it's perhaps not as positive as we would like it to be. The reality is that I feel this type of marketing is really shame-based marketing, and that's awful. So I'm really surprised that big businesses and big companies in the health and well-being and weight loss industries are still getting away with it, because it's awful, quite frankly. So what would be the opposite to, you know, shame-based marketing? I really think that there is no successful path to health and well-being for life unless it comes from a place of positivity. We still need to find joy in food, in healthy, fresh, beautiful food. When we're looking after our bodies, we need to be coming from a place of nourishment and not from a place of punishment. Overall, the language that we use with ourselves and the language that I would use with a client is always trying to be positive, not negative. So we want positivity and uplifting language, not the opposite. This negative language, this feeling of deprivation, coming from a place of punishment, all of those things are not sustainable. Imagine if that particular gym had beautiful posters of glorious fresh fruit and vegetables and, you know, beautiful proteins and yummy, delicious things like cheese here and there. And, you know, the mentality was that you come to the gym to do exercise because you love it and it's a great environment and you find all of this energy, as opposed to you go to the gym to burn calories. If it was all of those things, imagine how much more positive everybody's life would be who goes there, and how much more sustainable that particular journey would be. That's where, excuse me, we really need to be coming from, and that's what a true, that's where true change will actually happen. I had a really uplifting session with a client last week who I hadn't seen for a couple of years, and it seemed like her mindset around food had changed so much since she'd worked with me. She actually said to me, "You really changed the way I think about food. I don't count my calories anymore. I make sure all of my meals are really nourishing. I used to eat cheese and think I was going to get fat. Now I eat cheese and think about all the delicious calcium I'm getting and all the protein and all these beautiful things." And that is a sustainable mindset and a sustainable way of thinking. And when we get to that place, when we have that really healthy relationship with ourselves and with food, that's when we choose healthy food. Full stop. It starts with that healthy relationship, which leads to the healthy eating and the healthy balance and exercise and all of the happiness that comes with it. So what can you do to actually escape this horrible belittling marketing that is everywhere, not just in gyms, but at the newsagent, at the supermarket, at the billboard, at the intersection of, you know, the main roads that you cross on the way to work? Ignore it, I would say. That's my first bit of advice. Don't, if you see anything like that, don't even read it. Just move on. You don't need to engage with that sort of literature. And if you can't ignore it, if you find yourself, you know, out of interest looking at it and reading it and analyzing it and thinking about it, what I would suggest is that any negative self-talk or any negative niggling language that comes out of acknowledging that sort of material, turn it into a positive. It's quite difficult to do this and it takes a lot of practice, but if you keep working on it, 6 months from now, you'll find that you are your own biggest cheerleader. And that is just such an amazing thing to be for yourself. And finally, I would say that on a smaller level, perhaps if we all banded together and said, well, actually, no, we're not going to put up with this sort of language and we're not going to put up with this sort of belittling marketing, and we want to change the environment and change the conversation around well-being and health, perhaps you could ask for that change. So, for example, if I was a member at that gym, which I will not be, I'd be thinking about going up and saying to the club manager, hey, listen, do you want to take a little look around with me or a little walk? And let's have a look at all the information that you've got on the walls and have a think about how they're making people feel. Is there anything we can do about this? Can we actually change some of it so, A, it's less confusing for the members, and B, it just comes from a better place, because everything in that particular environment was just almost screaming at anyone who would read it that they weren't good enough. And that's not the kind of environment you want to spend time in my opinion. So I really do hope deep down that in 3 or 4 years, not 30 or 40 years, we actually have a little chuckle at how silly we were to have this sort of language and put up with this sort of belittling marketing in the health space. And I hope that it's becomes a lot more positive very, very soon, because that's ultimately what we need to be doing. And if you enjoyed this podcast, thank you so much for listening. Feel free to leave a comment. I've written a blog about this very topic as well, because I think it's so very important. Thank you so much again for being a listener. And if you want to work with me, obviously just go to my website. You can now book a discovery call with me to have a free 20-minute chat about and sort of see whether you want to work with me or not. But stay positive, guys, and do your best to not entertain these sorts of marketing material.